You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media
app. If you're in the Northeast, you're getting drenched, says CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
It's the overnight hours into the morning hours where you're going to be seeing the most impactful weather. But I do think that air travel up and down the Northeast corridor for Monday is going to be particularly tough. You're also going to be seeing lots and lots of flooded roadway issues and potentially even a concern of some down power lines that could go both onto roads and railroad tracks as well.
Despite international pressure, including from the U.S. and other Western nations, Israel is not letting up in its attacks on Hamas in Gaza. CBS's Raimi Innocencio is in Tel Aviv.
In public, Netanyahu is utterly intent to continue his military campaign to destroy Hamas. The number of dead in Gaza now just shy of 19,000 people. That's according to Gaza's health ministry.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are safe following a crash in Delaware, says CBS's Monica Ricks.
President Biden and the First Lady had just left re-election headquarters after a team dinner in Wilmington when a driver crashed into an SUV in the president's motorcade. That SUV had been blocking an intersection as the Bidens were walking out of the event. The president himself was just 200 feet away on the sidewalk. The driver reportedly tried to speed off, but was quickly surrounded by Secret Service.
The Wilmington Police Department is now handling the incident. The Secret Service says it does not appear the driver was trying to get to the president. Senate negotiators say they're making steady progress on a deal linking aid to Ukraine and Israel with border security. On CBS's Face the Nation, Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez said San Antonio needs help.
The time for a national security package is now. In my district, it is pure chaos, and people are upset. They're upset because their lives have been turned upside down.
There were two missile launches from North Korea on Sunday, says reporter Alex Jensen in Seoul.
North Korea appears to have test-fired an intercontinental ballistic missile, just as South Korea predicted could happen within this month. Just hours earlier, the North also launched a short-range ballistic missile and released a statement blaming US and South Korean military gangsters for raising tensions and attempting to ignite a nuclear war.
A raging fire destroyed a church in Southern California hours before a Christmas play and a toy giveaway. The Reverend Robert Garcia is senior pastor at Victory Outreach Church in Pomona.
One of the congregants said, you know, Pastor, at the end, the building's going to be burned down, but the church is still going to be standing because we're the church.
No injuries were reported. The cause of the fire still under investigation. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You've heard the buzz about IT jobs and cybersecurity and AI, right? Why not prepare for a career in these fields and take advantage of the high demand? You could enjoy a more rewarding and recession-resistant lifestyle. Train in just a few short months at My Computer Career. No experience necessary. Already in IT? Skill up for positions employers need to fill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
The Packers lose to the Buccaneers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth battle of the bays before the Buccaneers took over in the second quarter and never looked back. The final 34-20 in favor of Tampa. Buccaneers receiver Chris Godwin, over 150 yards on 10 catches. Quarterback Baker Mayfield.
Guy's just so consistent, man. Can't say enough about him. A true stud, true professional.
Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles.
You know, we're playing good December football right now. We won three. We got three more to go. We can't rest. We can't stop. We got to keep working.
The Packers tied the game 10-10 in the first quarter, then just couldn't seem to make the adjustments. Matt LaFleur.
give Tampa a ton of credit. They came in, they whooped us in every phase, outcoached us, outplayed us. We got to play better. We got to coach better.
At 6-8, how will this young team respond? Jordan Love.
It's what we've been doing the whole season. It's you know, how do we respond? How do we bounce back? Find a way to get better, focus on that, and make sure we go get a win.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports from Lambeau Field, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a brief snow shower possible tonight, and windy. Lows in the upper teens. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, but colder and still breezy. Highs in the mid-20s. Warmer again Tuesday, mid-30s and partly sunny. Gusts tonight through Tuesday could top 30 miles an hour. Right now it's 33.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm going to call this a Flannel Friday. Yeah. A Georgia jury put a hit out on Rudy Friday edition. I'm wearing flannel, but the breaking news, Dom, it's breathtaking.
Rudy. Wow. 844-967-2789. You have to join us. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Crudy, Nate working the board. Maggie Dawn coming at the 5 o'clock hour. It's going to be a fun day. And yes, Rudy Giuliani ordered. According to The Hill, to pay $148 million in the election workers defamation lawsuit.
Let me ask you, if $48 million, the amount originally sought by the plaintiffs in this case, if $48 million, and Rudy's lawyer said that's effectively a death penalty. If $48 million is a death penalty, what's three times $48 million? I mean,
104-
Yeah. Wow. Rudy's not going to make it through the holidays, Dom. Rudy will not live through the holidays. This jury's looking for a pound of flesh. And let me tell you, this reminds me a lot. Do you ever watch the Sopranos?
Oh, of course.
Sunday night over on the HBO. They're up there still on the streaming. You younger people, go back, watch the Sopranos. The classics are the best.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's the one episode where Tony Soprano, and I don't mean to be too colorful here on a afternoon drive show, but Tony Soprano drags a guy out of a bar by his hair, and he aligns this guy's jaw with the curb.
He puts his face, his teeth on the curb, yes.
Sets correct. His upper jaw on the curb, and then kicks him in the back of the head. And this guy, let's just say, lost some teeth. And that is what we affectionately call curb stomping.
Affectionately? I mean, it's just what it is.
It is what it is. But this is pretty gangster, Dom. I mean, yeah. this jury wanted to bury Giuliani under Meadowlands Stadium. They put a hit out on this guy. This will kill Rudy Giuliani. If 48 million is going to kill him, 148 million is going to bury him.
Another 148. They're going to have to clean the teeth out of their slacks cuffs, Crudy. It is bad. The Hill reporting during the 4-day trial, 8 Washington, D.C. residents heard harrowing testimony from the workers. So this was in D.C. Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, who said their lives were turned upside down as they faced a torrent of racist and violent threats following the accusations. Judy was found liable in the case months ago, and the jury only convened to decide how much the former federal prosecutor must pay in damages. Before deliberations began, the mother-daughter duo asked for more than $47 million. Well, they got more than $47 million, Crudy. Everyone who spread lies about Ms. Maws and Ms. Freeman should be held accountable, their lawyer said. The jury deliberated for more than 10 hours before ordering Giuliani to pay the election workers a total of $148.7 million. Moss will receive nearly $17 million for Giuliani's defamation and $20 million for his infliction of emotional distress. Freeman will receive nearly $16.2 million for defamation and $20 million for emotional distress. The mother-daughter received a total, received an additional $75 million in punitive damages. Whoo!
Here's my fear for the now successful plaintiffs. Rudy's broke. They're not getting paid. They're not getting paid. But here's
they're not going to get $148 million, but they'll get something.
Will they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not clear what Giuliani's future lifetime earnings are if he's been disbarred effectively in D.C. and I believe New York. But here's my thought, Dom. A, he ain't paying anybody. But B, he's been petulant and he came outside the courtroom. I mean, let's not forget the other day he left the courtroom, the defamation trial, to go out and defame the defendants or the plaintiffs further.
Keeps doing it. Maybe that's why there was an additional $75 million in punitive damages.
When you're down $150 million to the house, you really shouldn't take the tone this guy takes. let me give you a little example. Nate did the hard work. He pulled the Giuliani sound for us so we could play it for you fine people. Here he is, a little petulant. It's absurd. You're absurd, Giuliani. Play cut one.
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense.
Why didn't you take the stand in your own defense?
Because the victims already went through enough, according to Giuliani's attorney. And let's, again, much like the Trump civil fraud trial case, this was already decided. He had already been judged against. He'd been convicted essentially of this defamation, of this act, and he continued to do it, and an additional hook of $75 million. I mean, when it gets to be $148 million, Rudy. Now, my understanding, he had some condo or something worth like $6 million, and you know, there's some things probably out there that you can fire sale and get something. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be like, you know, trading places, the old guys living in the streets kind of a thing. But there are presumably assets out there. And is the guy insured? Does he have insurance? Arizona Missions, perhaps? E&O? You're an attorney. Come on, man.
We've got more Rudy sound. A little bit more post $148 million ruling, I believe. You know, that's when I'm always at my most confident, when I'm down $150 million to the house.
You double down, Curdy.
When my lawyer says $48 million would kill me, and I owe triple that to the house, that's when I'm at my most confident. Let's see if you can hear it in Rudy's voice. Cut number two.
So I am quite confident when this case gets before a fair tribunal, it'll be reversed so quickly, it'll make your head spin. And the absurd number that just came in will help that, actually.
The number might get knocked down. I would agree with Giuliani in some way, shape, or form. Someone could effectively nullify this jury's financial ruling, set a lower bar. That happens occasionally. Should ask Maggie Dawn about that. But reversal? Reversal of what? You were a jackass during this trial. You made yourself less than sympathetic to the jury. Rudy. The plaintiffs, here's what I see, reported Dom. Found this over at the Raw story. Specifically, when Ruby Freeman was telling the court that she could no longer use her real name, two women in the jurors' box were seen getting emotional, according to Andrew Rice of New York Magazine. Rice, speaking on CNN's Laura Coates live Thursday evening, said, for the most part, the jurors were behaving as jurors are supposed to. They didn't betray a lot of emotion. That being said, there were a couple of exceptions, according to Rice. I will say that at one point of the testimony yesterday, when Ruby Freeman, the mother, and the pair were testifying, She became very emotional. She started talking about how she really couldn't use her real name anymore. People knew who she was because of this TARDIS, right, Dom? And it was attached to her name, and she couldn't introduce herself to people. Rice added that she moved to a new place. She gave up her home, moved to a new neighborhood. She felt like she didn't have an identity anymore. The jurors reportedly responded to that. I saw one woman who was similar looking to Ruby Freeman in the sense that she was an older African-American woman dabbing her eyes with a tissue. And then next to her, a woman was a white, middle-aged white woman also started and seemed to be quite emotional. I think that it's only an 8-person jury. So if 2 of the 8 people are crying when the plaintiff's talking, wow, it's not good for the defendant.
No, no, not at all. 844-967-2789. Joseph Sibley, Giuliani's attorney throughout the trial, looked to show sympathy with the 2 workers while attempting to convince jurors that Giuliani should not be forced to pay huge sums for threats levied by other people. A quote from Sibley in his closing remarks. This is how he closed. I have no doubt that Mr. Giuliani's statements caused harm. No question about it. But just because these things happened, it doesn't make my clients responsible for them. Sibley did not cross-examine Freeman, but did ask questions to Moss, in particular questioning whether her diagnosis of major depressive disorder and acute stress disorder could really be linked to his client. Giuliani also opted against taking the stand after indicating for days he would testify. We feel like these women have been through enough, Sibley explained in his closing statement. But Sibley told juries that giving the plaintiffs the full requested damage would be the civil equivalent of the death penalty and mark the end of Mr. Giuliani. You have to send a message to the country that this verdict, with this verdict, that we don't have a blue state and red state America when it comes to justice. Justice isn't red or blue, Sibley said. I think the jurors sent a message to America. I think they were very, very clear. And on top of the, you know, other damages, $20 million and the $75 million, $74 million in punitive damages, I think they wanted to put a cigarette out on what is and what will no longer be what is left of Rudy Giuliani.
Dom, the internet, as you might have expected, has been reacting in the last few minutes. This is quite new, breaking news. We always like to break it for you here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We air the grievances here. We got a fine friend and a fine sponsor. Joining us next, Ellen Robinson from Herbal Aspect. But Dom, before we get to him, here's how the internet's reacting to this news. This jury put a hit out on Rudy Giuliani. Here is what is being said. After a dramatic defamation trial over his false election claims about Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss, Rudy was found liable for $148 million. The reaction from social media and particularly on the Twitter, Dom, was swift and mocking. Bye-bye, Rudy, posted an attorney and legal commentary, Bradley Moss, the security expert. The jury in Washington, D.C. has awarded Fulton County election workers $148,169,000 in compensatory and punitive damage against Rudy Giuliani for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress. I had to do those calculations twice to be sure. I might have made a massive error. You know, I don't like doing math on the radio, Dom, but $148 million? That's going to exceed Rudy's lifetime earnings, I got to suspect.
Well, especially at this point, he's towards the end of that career, let's call it.
Well, there's always Cameo, but wasn't he already doing that? Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Our friend Alan Robinson bringing us some Friday 420 facts. We are the grievances. Alan ain't one of them. Where's
the money, man? This is 93.5 The Tap, the Todd Almost Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Be sure you check out the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can take it with you. You can call us, text us from the app. Listen to all the stations on the Civic Media Network. Go to your favorite app store. Look for the Civic Media app.
And Dominic, Fridays around 420, we have our friend and fine sponsor partner from Herbal Aspect, Alan Robinson, by. And Alan's traveling down to a legal marijuana state. I bet he's partying today, Dom. So he joins us live from the road. Alan Robinson, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man? Sorry to be hitting you up from the road, but when you find that you have consumption lounges in your area, you know, you got to go check out what the competition is like.
So you find yourself on the road going to Illinois, which is a legal recreational use cannabis state. Although I do find the half an ounce limitation cumbersome for out of state purchases, but anyways, man, consumption lounges.
I do not have that unfortunate encumbrance at my shop, and you can pick up just as much flower as you want. Again, what you get down in Illinois is going to be a finer quality wine, so to speak, but, I dare to say my bathtub gin's just as good.
Brings all the boys That's to it. The yard, that bathtub well, gin you right. make, Alan Robinson.
Alan, the lounges, man, I want to hear a little bit more about this. My understanding, a lot of the states that have legalized, you know, the THC kind of cannabis, it's, you know, you can't consume in public and there's different restrictions. What are you seeing now and what's changing?
You know, first off, I'm going down to check out an eatery, so to speak, which is also a consumption lounge, right? Now, this one is Black-owned, and it has been in existence for the last couple of years. I just haven't had a chance to get down here to see it. Because that's the kind of thing that I want to bring back to Wisconsin. And because we're opening a new store in Monona, we might have some opportunity to do that. Now's the best time for me to get down there and do that kind of market research.
Alan Robinson, it's a little off topic, man. I saw you on the Facebooks, the social medias the other day, and you were wearing like a super cool bomber jacket, like a 420 Herbal Aspect bomber jacket. I've got to admit, perhaps the coolest jacket I've ever seen. Can I own one of those jackets, man? Is that like you got to be in the club? How do you get one of those?
You can get one. You got to go on to our website and get one, pre-order the Herbal Aspect Letterman jackets. Are available. They're fully customizable, man. You get your name on the back. It comes with the number 420 on the front, 420 on the back. It's got leather sleeves, or you can get the cloth sleeve option. They're dope, man. I'm really excited about these. They're available until December 25th for purchase. They're only like $150, and they'll all be delivered on January 15th.
You know, Dom and I both lettered on the Bong Olympic team in college.
You know what? And I bet. And let me, because I want to live up to the billing, right? Because there's some facts out here that I feel like y'all got to know in regards to how much we smoke, when we smoke, why we smoke, right? So a study came out recently that, and this isn't like the greatest of news, but it's important to talk about all of the things associated with cannabis. Cannabis exposure is linked to 1.3 times higher risk of an unhealthy pregnancy outcomes. So I have women coming into my shop all the time asking me, if cannabis is going to be a cannabis edible is a good option for their morning sickness or something of that variety. And while cannabis is great for nausea, I don't think that pregnant women, and I do not suggest it, that women consume while pregnant. And now this study of more than 9,000 pregnant people from across the U.S. Has found significant findings that indicate that there are, in fact, higher risks associated with cannabis use. So just being cognizant of how we use and when we use, everybody should get a jacket, but not everybody should smoke or consume all the time.
But what about, middle-aged, barely employed guys like Dom and I? You know, what's the limitation on guys like us, Alan?
Yeah, man, you have no limits with me, no limits, no judgment. Get a jacket, you get a jacket, you get a bong rip, you get a bong rip.
You're the Oprah. He's Alan Robinson. He is a sponsor and a friend of ours. He is from Herbal Aspect. They're based in Madison, but I realize not all the audience is hearing you from Madison, Alan. And for those that would be curious, because you are legal, you're selling a legal cannabis product under both state and federal laws, you can mail these products. These can be mail ordered. They can be ordered from the herbalaspect.com website. So all of the people that hear your voice right now, they're potential clients of yours, Alan.
Oh, absolutely, man. We ship it, get it to you in a discreet package in just a couple of days. And we've got that down to a science. That's actually how we started. So our mail order business is big, but it's big, and it can get bigger. Got these gummies flying out, man.
Alan, I got to admit, I'd like to think I'm an expert, but more of a amateur at the cannabis thing. You know, I've been doing a long-term longitudinal study, but not really writing down the results. But I do perceive you as something of a cannabis expert, and I know that you've been doing the consultations, and you're doing them for our listeners for free. And I don't mean to be like a boomer of weed, but it's good to know the right answers and figure out what might be the right consumption for you and what you're comfortable with and what goals you might have through this consumption. So, Alan, you're still doing the consultations here for the holidays. People could be the best gift giver on the entire block.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. Just real quick here, knowing what you are trying to accomplish with your cannabis use and then pairing that with the right cannabinoid profile is incredibly important. You might not want to get as stony as a college kid. So understanding what milligram dosages to kind of step into, that's really where we want to be with those cannabis consultations. And of course, Devil Radio listeners get those for free. You just type in the code Devil Radio at checkout and you'll get that benefit.
Alan, if you could help cast us, safely somewhere between Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg, that's the range I like to be for the holidays. Can you find me somewhere to fall in that range?
Oh, man, I'll get you high as a research monkey. We've got concentrates. You can go to Sputnik. It all depends on what your consumption level is, where you want to be. And yes, I can absolutely get you there. I'll be somewhere right past Mars.
Well, be careful on the roads out there. Safe travels down to the land of Lincoln, the flatlands to our south. Right, well, I'm not implying you are, but I didn't imply you were driving either, just on the road. Be careful out there, my friend. Have a great weekend. Alan Robinson from the Herbal Aspect. Find them online. One of our fine sponsors, herbalaspect.com. More Devil's Advocates, Friday grievances. Yours could be next, 844-96-PARTY.
The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The Northeast is getting drenched, says CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
For the rain, it's going to be happening throughout the Northeast, but the particular concerns are up into portions of the Catskills, the Adirondacks, because there's snow on the ground.
Stronger border security could be part of a deal to get aid for Ukraine and Israel through Congress. On CBS's Face the Nation, Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez.
People are angry and seeing all this chaos. It's why it's so important that the House, the Senate, and the President come together and find a real solution.
A car crashed into a Secret Service SUV a few hundred feet from President Biden in Wilmington, Delaware, Sunday night, says CBS's Catherine Watson.
He was about to get in the van anyway, but there was a brief pause, maybe a second or two, where the president looked. Everyone was clearly surprised, but then he was gently guided into the vehicle.
The Secret Service says it doesn't appear the driver was trying to get to the president. CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrace Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a brief snow shower possible tonight, and windy. Lows in the upper teens. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, but colder and still breezy. Highs in the mid-20s. Warmer again Tuesday, mid-30s and partly sunny. Gusts tonight through Tuesday could top 30 miles an hour. Right now it's 31.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
This is 93.5 The Tap, the Todd Alba Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom!
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You made it till Friday.
We survived, Dom.
Well done,
everybody. We're thriving here on the radio airwaves. Thank you to our friend, Alan Robinson, Herbal Aspect. And looking forward to being joined by the incomparable Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, Milwaukee County Corporation Council. And most importantly, our friend joins us in the Happier Happy Hour.
So yeah, it's been too long.
No grievances about that whatsoever. But if you got some grievances, and you know, it is the custom, we air them here on the airwaves. It is the Festivus season, Dom.
It and indeed I is.
Do have a lot of problems with you people.
Now you're going to hear about it.
844-967-2789. But I'd like to throw one out there. Worst Congress ever.
Ever?
Ever. This is the headline, Dana Milbank at the Washington Post. Not even my opinion. Dana Milbank, right. Columnist at the Post. A year ago, Milbank writes, I assigned myself to the Capitol to cover the new House Republican majority, suspecting that this erratic crowd of lawmakers would provide some lively material. You know, we're all in it for the material, Dom. They did not disappoint. What I could not have known then, however, was that this would turn out to be the most ineffective session of Congress in nearly a century, and quite possibly in all of American history.
Oh, wow.
The year began with chaos and incompetence. It ended with chaos and incompetence.
Consistency.
Yeah, they're consistent, these Republicans, Dom. In between were self-created crisis and shocking moments of fratricide, interspersed with more chaos and incompetence. Here's a quote, Dom. John DeGeese, Democrat of Colorado, he observes, this will go down as the least productive Congress since the Great Depression. How well they're doing. DeGeese almost certainly understates the case. While it's true, as Huffington Post Jonathan Nicholson points out, that Congress got even less done in 1931, this is only because it didn't start its session that year until December. It seems probable that no Congress in American history has spent so much time accomplishing so little as this one.
Oh, wow.
It's like a Congress about nothing, Dom. What do House Republicans have to show the voters for their year in power? Well, a bipartisan debt deal on which they promptly reneged to avoid a default crisis which they themselves created. A pair of temporary spending bills, both passed with mostly Democratic votes, to avert a government shutdown crisis that they themselves created.
Consistency.
The ouster of their speaker, nearly a month-long shutdown of the chamber as they sought another, and the expulsion of one of their members, who is now negotiating himself a plea deal and making sweet, sweet cameo money. Santos doing better there than he did in the Congress, Dom. And among the 22 bills in 2023 that became law as this week was the landmark legislation known as H.R. 3672 to designate the Clinic of the Department of Veterans Affairs in Indian River, Michigan, as the PFC Justin Patton Department of Veterans Affairs Clinic. Also, H.R. 5110, the Protecting Hunting Heritage and Education Act, which authorized federal education funds to purchase or use dangerous weapons for instruction.
Wow.
These are the important, Dom, the important things this worst Congress ever working on. Wow.
Crudy Milbank continues from the Washington Post. On Thursday, the House, exhausted from its labors, recessed for a three-week vacation.
We're going to Disneyland.
Leaving behind a pile of urgent, unfinished business, including funds to arm Ukraine and fortify the southern border. When the lawmakers return, they will have just 8 legislative days to pass something to avoid the latest government shutdown, on which they have made no progress so far. But before rushing home for the holidays, Republicans did manage to approve, in a party-line vote, a formal impeachment inquiry into Biden for imaginary crimes that even they could not identify. It's been an up-and-down year, Majority Leader Steve Scalise said in a year-end news conference. He was half right. The quote continues.
Yeah, what was the up part? What was the up part, Steve?
Getting rid of McCarthy, I guess. I know for those of you in the press, there's never been a week where it was boring for you, Milbank writes. This was true. Next year is going to be just as busy, he went on. That shouldn't be hard. He acknowledged there's talk about how hard it's been, but he blamed the Democratic Senate for the inaction. Nice try, Milbank writes. This Senate, with a similar majority, was highly productive in the last Congress. And Congress, even under divided government, has routinely found ways to function until this gang took over the House. The final week was typical. In the Senate, Democrats and Republicans fervently negotiated a compromise that would allow the United States to keep sending arms to Ukraine to help Ukraine fight off Russia's invasion while also toughening U.S. border policies. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer pleaded with Speaker Mike Johnson to keep his chamber in session so that the emergency spending package could be passed before year end. Johnson refused, prompting Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell to say it would be practically impossible to pass the desperately needed bill. Likewise, Johnson, who, as Punchbowl News noted, has proved to be unwilling or unable to make tough decisions, couldn't decide which of two competing bills of the House should pass to reauthorize a program known as Section 702 that falls under a FISA Act and is vitally important to national security. So he scheduled House votes on them both, which caused the House Republican caucus to devolve Monday night into yet another round of bickering, with Rep. Warren Davidson from Ohio accusing Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner of effing lying. Once again paralyzed, House GOP leaders yanked both bills from consideration on the floor. Instead, they moved on to the Duck Stamp Modernization Act of 2023, no doubt a matter of great importance to waterfowl hunters.
Well, that way you can get your duck stamp on your cell phone, Dom. It's important stuff they're doing this Congress.
They're getting their ducks in a row. The dysfunction shows every sign that it will continue in the new year. The House Freedom Caucus, whose members routinely kneecap Republican leaders and derail proceedings in the House in 2023, just elected their new leader, Rep. Bob Good from Virginia, one of the most doctrinaire members of the caucus and one of the eight Republicans who ousted Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. He now leads the Freedom Caucus. Davidson, in a letter to colleagues intercepted by Axios, alluded to Good's bomb-throwing tendencies and asked that the group prayerfully consider electing someone else. They went on with the legislative terrorists anyway. Dana Milbank, just lighten up this ne'er-do-well House, this Congress, the worst Congress ever? Question mark? You can find the piece posted up at the Devil's Advocates radio page. They go on. There's the Hunter Biden stuff. There's all that. They're impeaching. They're not going to be very transparent about it, right? They don't really articulate any specific charges. And from what we read yesterday, some of the corporation payments to the grandsons were of what? A couple hundred bucks, $100, $400, $500, something along those lines. And don't forget, the paying back of the truck loan. Very, very, very mysterious, these Republicans. And we renamed some VA clinics. So, can't say they're not doing anything. Is that governance? Is that progress? Are we moving the country forward?
They're doing the Lord's work, Dom. Virginia Fox, we talked about her yesterday, making her pitch for whole
milk. Shut up!
Shut up! Stop shutting me up, Virginia Fox. She was making a pitch for whole milk. Because that's what Santa takes. But what we missed and what I saw later in the evening, and I apologize to the audience right now, we brought you an incomplete context because Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's own from the third.
Yeah.
He also went up there and cracked on almond milk and all other variant forms of milk because they don't come from mammals. Do you ever remember that Meet the Parents? Can you milk? I'm a mammal. Can you milk? I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Yeah, you can milk anything with nipples. I have nipples. Can you milk me? Oh, no, we missed Derek Van Orden. He got in on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin.
Literally, the argument was you can milk a mammal. If it's not a mammal, it's not milk. I paraphrase slightly, but that was the literal argument. Somehow we missed that sound. We didn't share.
I think there was at some point, and I don't know. An argument like that products made that were not true mammal milk that couldn't be called milk. There was tried to do some sort of legal issue where they couldn't label it as such. Now, I don't think it went anywhere. I don't think that's the case because I still get some almond. And I tried almond milk. And sometimes you go to a coffee shop, they don't have necessarily. They have whole milk and maybe almond milk or something else. So I try to mix it up, but I do like the traditional cow milk, generally speaking. But Why is this in consideration on the House floor? Well, why do they care what Santa drinks?
Because otherwise, you know what I mean? They've got to.
Could you milk me?
Because otherwise, they've got to talk about the impeachment of Joe Biden, and they've got to talk about what the fact that, you know, their plan to fund the government really comes crashing down in like 3 weeks. 844-967-2789.
Eight legislative days when they returned from Christmas holiday break to keep the government open. Good luck with that. I'm sure they'll be raring to go when they get back.
The most important topic discussed on the House floor this week, whether or not you can milk Derek Van Orden because he's a mammal. John from Boaz. John, you live in Van Orden's district, don't you?
Hey, John.
I'm not sure about that, but
you ever considered milking your congressman?
Ever. I have a couple of grievances about him, if I can.
Sure.
All right. Lay it on us, brother.
There's two grievances. I'll let you pick which one. The first one is what the Catholic nuns did to my father. And the second one is our economy is supposed to be going in a recession. But because the federal government gave us $4 billion of funny money, that's $40 million earning interest. But nobody's talking about it.
John, I'm not clear what...
So
what,
which one?
Well...
I'd rather talk about the economy, John. But, you know, that's...
John, I'm not sure where your math comes from, but I know there has been tons of infrastructure investment, first in a bipartisan fashion, but also without the help of any Republicans. I know that Joe Biden, the president of the United States, is coming to Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about the surge in small business growth that's happened through the last couple of years. A lot of people never went back to the office after COVID. They started their own companies. And I think the state of Wisconsin, John, has been really great in some of their policies, the bounce back grants and the Main Street grants extended from the state government through a lot of community partnerships. But I've told the story a few times, went up to Amory, Wisconsin, had the responsibility to find commercial office space in a town of about 2,200 people, about an hour, I guess it's to the east from Minneapolis, but it's, you know, the Wisconsin side of the river. And I went up to Amory and I started looking at real estate and everything's rented. The entirety of Main Street was full. I went out to the strip mall. We finally ended up between the hardware store and the grocery store for our little radio station up there, 1260 AM. And now on the FM dial at 104.7 FM, I do believe.
Yeah, awesome.
Finally got the FM working 24/7 in Amory. So very excited about that. But the business climate there, there had been 31 bounce back grants extended in $10,000 increments on Main Street Amory in a town of 2,200. And all those vacant storefronts that, you know, just make your town look blighted, they're full. They're vibrant. Downtown Amory is hopping, man. And I got to tell you, I was the guy signing the commercial leases for Civic Media in so many of these different markets, Tom. I signed 9 commercial leases last year. And it was a struggle to find good real estate because this was such a successful program. It made downtown little mom and pop real estate shops very competitive. These small shops, these small business where you would want to be on Main Street, that's where Civic Media wanted to be, right on hometown Main Street. Just me and every other small business owner coming out of the pandemic. So Wisconsin's done it right, John. Particularly right. And I would always compare that and contrast that to how the last administration did it, which was Foxconn. And you know, I hated that guy, Wanker. Come back, more devils. Love you when you call 844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. And-
Glasgow's Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Hi, welcome back to The Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. I know we got some callers holding, but I also want to throw this out there. I think John from Boyle is talking about the debt and the interest in these things. And I brought this up recently. I want to throw it out there again. AmericanProgress.org from March of 2023. Tax cuts are primarily responsible for the increasing debt ratio. I'm not going to get into it deep, but I would suggest checking it out. Put up on the socials. All their data is marked for your own confirmation and research. The need to increase the debt limit, again, this is in March, has focused attention on the size and trajectory of the federal debt. Long-term projections show the federal debt as a percentage of the U.S. economy is on a path to grow indefinitely with increased non-interest spending due to demographic changes such as increasing life expectancy, declining fertility, and decreased immigration, and rising health care costs permanently outstripping revenues under projections based on current law. House Republican leaders have used this fact to call for spending cuts, but it does not address the true cause of rising debt. Tax cuts initially enacted during Republican trifectas in the past 25 years slashed taxes disproportionately for the wealthy and profitable corporations, severely reducing federal revenues. In fact, relative to earlier projections, spending is down, not up, but revenues are down significantly more. If not for the Bush tax cuts and their extensions, as well as the Trump tax cuts, revenues would be on track to keep pace with spending indefinitely, and the debt ratio would be declining. Instead, these tax cuts have added $10 trillion to the debt since their enactment and are responsible for 57% of the increase in the debt ratio since 2001 and more than 90% of the increase of the debt ratio if the one-time cost of bills responding to the COVID-19 and the Great Recession are excluded.
That's new
tax
news.
Cuts. As a big, of course, man, it's revenue. You're addressing the revenue side of it. And I get, you know, spending, I understand that. But, you know, if even just with inflation, spending is going to go up. But, you know, they do the tax cuts and they don't do any subsequent, they being the government, those that are in charge. And certainly some Democrats voted for these tax cuts as well. But this is primarily a Republican thing. And if that were not to be the case, we wouldn't be talking about these ratios. We wouldn't talk about this indefinite debt rising. Well, look what we've done. And we've done that. And we hit the revenue side and not adjusted the expense side, the cost side, the spending side. And they say, oh, this is terrible. Well, did you think about that when you passed the bills?
Remember when we were on Brady Street, you know, old resistance radio days back when Ron Johnson used to come around. And Ron came around in like 2017-18 timeframe, feeling very good about himself. I believe 2018, because Ron Johnson, through his singular intransigence, had changed the Trump tax cut proposals to include tax cuts for designated S corporations. Now, I'm not expecting you all to be accountants, but that means mostly small businesses that pass through to the owner. So I was at that time a designated S corporation, and if we had ever been profitable in the radio industry, it would have passed through to my personal income taxes. I've had profitable companies prior. That just didn't happen to be one of them. But anyways, Ron came down and he was so proud. Prudy, I did this for us, because Ron claimed himself Pacor, then he was part of his father-in-law's family business, sort of a captive audience, his single supplier business. But anyways, Ron also apparently a designated escort. But what Ron never broke to us is so were a couple of other prominent Republican donors. The Uline family, Dick and Liz, big donors, and the widow Hendricks, happened to also structure their corporations as designated S-corps. So had I ever made a little bit of profit, I would have gotten a slightly fairer tax calculation. But I've always said there's a greater benefit to be a small business owner, to have this structure in place, because I get to claim my expenses. I get to go spend as much money as I can on business stuff and then pay taxes. That's different from the average working stiff, where the government takes your money and every nickel you spend is after tax. That's a different, it's a different deal. So it was already, to my perception, a slightly better deal to be a small business owner than a laborer. But now it's a much better deal, especially if you're the Ulines or the widow Hendricks and you've had very profitable, successful small businesses that are also designated S. Because as I remember the math, Dom, and memory's usually pretty good. Fridays gets a little sketchy, but usually pretty good. In the singular tax year 2018, those two families saved something to the tune of $200 million. $200 million in a single filing. Two families saved $200 million through that alteration in the tax codes, singularly established through the intransigence of Ron Johnson. Proud to tell us, did it for us, Crudy. You and I and the Ulines and the widow Hendricks. And I don't think I blew up the tax codes, Dom. If I saved $5,000, $1,500 that year, great. I don't even know that I did. But the Ulines and the widow Hendricks saved $200 million in that tax filing year alone. Now multiply that through, what, half a decade we've lived since then? Starts to add up to some real money, Dom, like $1 billion through two tax filers alone. And the fact that they reimbursed Ron, well, they don't call it that. That'd be untoward.
Of course, can't do something
like
that.
They turned around and gave beneficial donations to the campaign of Ron Johnson to the amount of like $21 million. That's like a 10% kickback. That's what you do, right, Dom?
You scratch my back, you know, one hand washes the other. They both wash the face.
We've got some callers holding, but there was a PolitiFact on Ron. Wanted to get this out. Caitlin Collins asked Ron the other day, and we've got a PolitiFact on this statement that Ron made. Play it for the people.
Sells out of a nuisance lawsuit. They agreed to get to settle a nuisance lawsuit that never should have been brought.
So you think it's fine that someone...
It's a harassment lawsuit. It's a travesty of justice.
You think it's fine that someone who tried to overturn a legitimate election is still on a board?
Democrat electors have done that repeatedly. Democrats have done...
Which
Democrats
one?
Have done the same thing.
In Wisconsin,
tried
there's
to criminalize
been fake slates of electors?
No, it's happened in different states.
I didn't come prepared
to give you the exact states, but it's happened repeatedly. It has happened repeatedly. Just go check the books.
Which books?
I mean, there have been alternate slates of election.
So he says it's happened repeatedly. Democratic false slates of electors. PolitiFact, cutting to the chase, says that is wrong. His own aide acknowledged that Johnson meant to make a different point, a more general one about Democrats objecting to past election results. And in any case, none of the evidence provided by Johnson matches the original claim. We rate Rojo fault. Shocker, Dom. Come back. Maggie Dawn, she never gets it wrong when she's on the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's her greatest decision ever. She's next.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central states home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season.
Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by...